Hey everyone, let's take a look today at Mark chapter 1, continuing. We'll pick up in verse 9 of chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So again, just to reiterate, when you look at the gospel of Mark, it can be head spinning because it just happens so quickly, one scene after another. So unlike the other gospels, Jesus appears on the scene very quickly in the gospel. So I want to look at four things from this section of Mark. The first is Jesus' baptism, and there's several things about it that are noteworthy. First, I think we should ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? He's God. He's the Son of God. He's a perfect human being. Why would he need to be baptized for the repentance of sins? Well, I would say the most important answer is that Jesus shared human nature in every respect. He took on the frail form of human nature and everything that goes with that frailty. And so I would say because Jesus underwent baptism to fully identify with us. He was the Son of God, but he laid aside the rights and power of being the Son of God. And he fully identified with frail and sinful humanity. And I believe that's why he submitted to baptism. We should also note that Jesus' baptism here is pointing to his coming death. Remember, he will often say, "Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm about to experience?" And so this is also pointing ahead to the cross. And during the baptism, this is the second big thing I want to draw attention to. The language is interesting. Unlike the other gospel writers, Mark says that the heavens were rent, that the heavens were torn. They weren't just open, but they were ripped apart. I don't think this is just sort of a young man using hyperbolic language. I think this is Mark's way of saying that a new order has come to pass. The prophet Isaiah said, "Would that you would rend the heavens and come down." Well, God is answering that prayer, and a new thing is coming to pass. And so I think that's part of why Mark uses that language. And then this is one of the most important passages that Christians have pointed out to through the centuries to give us our understanding of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because here in this moment, we see Jesus, the Son of God, coming up out of the water. We see the Holy Spirit as a dove descending and resting upon him. And we hear the voice of the Father declaring his pleasure and favor upon Jesus. So this is a very important moment where we get a snapshot, as it were, of the character of God, the Father who sends Jesus, the Father who sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who anoints Jesus and prepares him to do what he's called to do. And remember also that the promise that John made about Jesus is that Jesus would immerse us in the Holy Spirit. And that's why Christians have often noted that if we want to understand what Christian baptism means, we should look at Jesus' baptism. When Christians are baptized, we are, as it were, inserted into Jesus' baptism. And so we die, we get buried in the water, we come up out of the water, and God the Father sends his Holy Spirit on us and says, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." And so by grace, we enter into Jesus' baptism. Well, that's interesting because that gets to our third point, because once again, here's an immediately, the Holy Spirit immediately, it says drives out, I actually like casts out. It's a very strong word. It's not just that Jesus felt led to go into the wilderness. It's the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And this should make us think of several things. It should make us think of Adam and Eve being driven from the garden by God. Jesus goes into the separation from God that Adam and Eve experienced. It should also make us think of Israel in the wilderness, as it were, Moses first being driven into the wilderness and then Israel being driven into the wilderness. And I think it also emphasizes that this is not necessarily something Jesus wanted. If we were to consult Jesus at the time, I don't think he would tell us that he enjoyed the idea of this fasting and this being tested by the devil, but it's something that the Holy Spirit compelled him to do. Again, he was obedient, but I don't think it's something that his human nature would have relished. And there in the wilderness, Jesus resists the temptation that Adam and Eve failed to resist. He resists the temptation that Israel failed to resist in the wilderness. And I like this. One church writer has said that Jesus went and defeated the devil with the right hand of divinity tied behind his back. In other words, Jesus didn't cheat. He had a human body with all the frailties of a human body. And all that he had in addition to that is the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable him to know his Father's will, to know his Father's word, and to resist that temptation. And so I think it's meant to also be an encouragement to us as we learn to resist temptation and resist the trials that God allows in our lives. And then finally, the final moment of all this, and again, he was there 40 days, but it says immediately. The last moment is when Jesus comes preaching. He comes into Galilee after John is arrested. There's another ominous note. And he comes with this great announcement that he goes everywhere declaring this announcement. And he says the time is ripe, or he says the time is full. I like saying the time is ripe, because if you've ever grown fruit or watched fruit and looked for ripe fruit, you know what that means. There's this little window of opportunity, and that's just what Jesus is saying. He says, well, the tree of Israel has been ripening for a long time, and right now, God the Father is plucking the fruit. This is the time. This is the time we've all been waiting for. It has come, and it's time to respond to it. And so he declares the kingdom. The kingdom is here. And if I could paraphrase what Jesus is saying, God, my Father, is good. God, my Father, is here. And God, my Father, is able. That's what it means that the kingdom is near. God is good. He is here. And he is able. Jesus is inviting people into God's presence, his goodness, and his power. That's what he means. So I think that's a great shorthand for the kingdom is near. God is here, he is good, and he is able. And finally, Jesus says, repent and believe this good news. Let me paraphrase that. Jesus is saying it requires a totally new way of thinking in order to enter into this understanding that God is here, he is good and kind, and he is able. It requires changing the way we think, changing how we view ourselves, how we view God. And all through Jesus' ministry, he's going to be bringing that change or challenging people with that change. And I think most importantly, he challenges his own disciples who continually show that they don't think in this way that God is here and that he is good and that he is able. And so may we, as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, receive the gift from the Father of learning to jar our thinking and look at the world in an entirely new way because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.